Last time on the Skip and Josh podcast.
That seems like the biggest waste of time of all time.
It is.
How many views does that thing have?
18,000.
Really?
Yes, really.
I mean, I'm sure 17,999 of those people clicked on it, watched 2 seconds, and then turned it off.
You're listening to the Skip and Josh podcast with Skip Sherman and Josh Obadia.
Okay, Skip, so today we are going to count down our favorite Seinfeld episodes. But before we get into that, I need to make a correction for something I said last week. I referred to the baseball stadium in Toronto as the Rogers Stadium. It is, in fact, called the Rogers Center.
What do you think, like, people are after you for that? I mean, I still call it Skydome.
Well, you shouldn't.
Like, honestly, I think people still... Do people in Toronto, they must still call it Skydome?
No, actually, everyone calls it the Rogers Center.
Okay, all right. I know how you love the corrections.
Yes. You probably have watched the show that I'm going to mention to you. It's new to me, but it's like, you know, 2 years old or something now. And I'm just curious to know if you've seen it. It's called Dirty John.
Of course, yeah. We watched that.
That show is insane.
There's also a podcast. You should listen to the Dirty John podcast after you watch it, or even before you watch it. Well, after you watch it, I guess.
Well, I finished watching it. I finished, but...
So there's... Look up the Dirty John podcast, because you'll get the more true story, because the show, while it is all true, like, it's somewhat... I don't want... Exaggerated is the wrong word, but, like, modified for TV, you know?
Of course.
A little bit glamorized. And when you listen to the podcast, you really get the actual story. Like, it's really quite amazing.
Okay, I'll look it up. But the other thing I noticed when I went on to imdb.com, which is my new favorite website, apparently there's 2 seasons of this show, Dirty John. But
no, because what happened is, no, because I can tell you, because we've been trying to get the second season. It's not the same story. They made sort of a spinoff. It's called Dirty John, like, because it's the same idea or producers or whatever, but it's called Betty.
Right, because of Betty Broderick.
Exactly. But we can't get that in Canada. Right now, that show is on, like, USA Network or a channel that we don't get in Canada. It's like, it's not obtainable here right now.
Okay.
I've tried to find it and I can't get it.
Yeah, I mean, when I was reading the description of some of the episodes on that season 2, I knew that it had nothing to do with season 1, but I didn't understand why it was even the same show, because it sounded like a completely different show.
It's a completely different show, but it's more or less the theme of, like, a domestic violence or dispute that ends badly type of thing, you know? I think in the Betty situation, it's much worse, because I think, doesn't she kill her husband?
I don't know anything about it. I don't know.
I think that's what it's about. So, I mean, eventually we'll get it here, or maybe I need to do some more research to try to figure out how to get it, but I haven't. Right now, it's a no-go here in Canada.
So anyway, this show, Dirty John, this is what I refer to as a scary show. Not like, you know, those Halloween shows or Nightmare on Elm Street. Those shows are not, those movies are not scary to me. This is scary because this actually happened. Just like that movie that I told you about, Get Out.
Get Out, yeah.
Also very scary because it could actually happen. I mean, anyway.
Get Out is a little exaggerated about exactly it actually happened. But yeah, I know what you mean. It's the more real, the more scary it is.
Right.
How are you doing without your sports cable channels?
I am doing phenomenal, okay? First of all, not only am I not interested in sports, and every day I'm less and less interested in sports, there have been days this week where I didn't even turn on the television.
Yeah, like, that's good.
To watch anything, period. Because, first of all, I'm out every night playing tennis. I'd rather be out doing something than being inside in front of the television. Mm-hmm. And when I am home, you know, because I work from home, I'm working. I'm not watching television. So, yeah, whatever. I could care less.
The reason why I'm asking is because, you know, the NBA is in their bubble now, the players.
Right.
And the season is imminent. There's a schedule. The season's starting. Like, there's a date, like July 20-something, right?
Oh, I've seen the schedule.
Yeah. And then just this morning, I think, or yesterday, the NHL actually has a date. August 1 is supposed to be, like, I know the Canadians are supposed to be playing Pittsburgh on August 1. So, like, do you have plans to reinstate those channels, or is this it for you?
So it's a good question. I was thinking about this when I heard all these schedules being announced. I was thinking this exact thing. Plus, I was on the phone with Bell for about an hour this week again. for another reason, for a different reason. I've upgraded my internet. Anyway.
Right.
So I'm going to try and answer your question. I was thinking about it. So let's say right now I don't have any sports channels and tomorrow there's an NBA game. Do I want to watch that game?
Well, you never watched NBA anyways.
But exactly. I never did.
More, hockey is closer to your heart. No?
Right. Like, so this is what I'm getting to that. So if tomorrow there's an NBA game and I can't watch it, I don't care. And then if tomorrow there's like, I don't know, Yankees versus Red Sox and I can't watch it, I don't care about that either. Now,
what happens if March Madness comes March?
Let's get to hockey first. I haven't gotten to hockey yet.
Okay.
So if the Canadiens are playing the Penguins, do I want to watch that game? The answer is yes, I do. However, there's a but. If I have plans to go play tennis that night, I'm not going to cancel my tennis match to stay home and watch the game.
Right.
So on the day of the game, if I actually want to watch the game and I have nothing else to do, then I'll subscribe to the sports channels. However, keep in mind that some of the hockey games are going to be on CBC, which I still get.
Right. That's right. That's
so.
Right. Yeah. I think the leagues are, I mean, they're in a rush to come back and they're trying to come back, but they are going to find that the fans aren't there. They're going to find out, like, we know the fans are not there in person. That's a given. But they're going to find out that there's a lot of fans like you, and I'm bordering on the same as you. The interest is gone, right? Maybe when the season start for real, and we're out of this pandemic, maybe things will sort of reboot. But until then, I think it's very dicey, you know? Let's get to Seinfeld.
Part of the problem is also that it's summer and the weather is nice, and who wants to stay indoors and watch anything on television? So
that's right.
You can't blame the sports leagues entirely for this.
Correct.
Top episodes of Seinfeld.
All right, so Josh, Seinfeld. It's been a recurring theme since episode one, right? When I drop in sound bites into the show, more often than not, they're Seinfeld clips, right? We talk about Seinfeld all the time. And as you know, and listeners know, like, I've been on a rerun binge of Seinfeld for the past months. Whenever it's on, I always have like a good 3, 4, 5 pack of PVR Seinfelds on my ready to go on my TV at any moment, just in case. So I'm excited to do this list. And by the way, this list was difficult, as you know, right? Like, it was really difficult. And we just to tell the listeners, we agreed to extend the list to 10 instead of 7 because it was too hard.
Yes.
Now tell everyone what you said before we started about how much research this required.
It required a lot of research, so much so that I may retire after this because I did more work on this episode. The only other episode that I did this much work on was the top 10 Tragically Hip songs.
Right. I agree. Yeah. I agree. And by the way, that's not even on our feed. That's on the Semi-Intellectual Musings podcast feed.
Okay. So you mentioned one of the changes that we're doing 10 instead of 7. There's two other changes. Uh-huh. Actually, not one other change and one other thing I want to mention.
Uh-huh.
Another change that we're doing today is rather than you just doing your entire list and then me doing my entire list, we're going to alternate.
Okay.
That's another change. And the other thing I wanted to mention, this doesn't apply to you, only to me. I had to make life easier for myself when compiling this list because it was too difficult. So I imposed certain restrictions upon myself, similar to what I did when we did the top Duke players.
What are the restrictions?
Well, there was only one restriction that I imposed on myself.
Yeah.
Which is that I could only pick one episode per season.
Oh, that's nonsense.
It's not nonsense. Now, because we needed 10 episodes, there is one season where I picked 2 episodes.
And season 1, I don't have any. So you have something from season 1? There's only like 6 episodes or 7, no?
There are 5 or 6.
Yeah.
But
okay, I can't wait to hear this. I'm excited because our first 2 top 7s, the lists were very similar.
This one's going to be completely different.
And I hope that this is going to be different. So let's get into it. Let's just get into it. I'm going to start with my number 10, all right?
Okay.
My number 10 is The Implant, season 4, episode 19. This is, I mean, when you look at the whole, go ahead. You wanted to say something?
No, just this is just a general comment. So I have the names of the episodes that I've picked, just like you do. Yeah. And I also have what year and what number episode. But I have to tell you, a lot of the titles of the episodes, if you just told me the title, I would not be able to tell you what happened on that episode just based
on
the title.
But you don't know the implant? Like
I know the implant, yes. But I was looking through all of the episodes. There's some that you look at the title and you're like, what happened in that episode? And then you read the description and then you know. But like, I also another thing, you watch Seinfeld every day, 7 times a day. I haven't watched an episode of Seinfeld other than the Keith Hernandez episode. I haven't watched an episode in years. In a
while. Yeah. So I'm going by recent memory. You're going by long-term memory. So it's a little bit of a cognitive test here for our, old brains.
Precisely.
So the implant, I mean, it's the episode with Terry Hatcher. It's made famous by the big line, they're real and they're spectacular. Everybody knows that. It's iconic.
I can't believe you sent a woman into the sauna to do that.
That was an accident.
I think you're both mentally ill.
Oh.
And by the way, they're real and they're spectacular.
And it almost didn't make my top 10, but just because of that line. And then the thing is, there's something else in this episode that is extremely, extremely iconic. Seinfeld is famous for like the terminology, words that became part of the English language almost. They almost added words to the dictionary. And one of them is from this episode, which is the double dip.
You see, I completely forgot that happened in that episode.
Yeah, yeah. I forget. So he goes to a funeral and then, you know, obviously he double dips the chip and the guy's like, you take a dip and end it. You know, it's very classic. So... anyways, you're number 10.
Okay, so my number 10 is from season 3, which potentially season 3 could be the best season of them all.
I think you are right about that.
Episode number 19, it's called The Limo. And I don't need to tell you what happens in The Limo, where at the airport, Jerry and George pretend to be two other people, O'Brien. And they get into a limo, not knowing anything about what's going to happen to them. And it turns out that O'Brien is some neo-Nazi author or something that no one's ever seen him. So that's why they get away with it, because the people picking him up don't even know what O'Brien looks like, because there's no photo on the book jacket.
Right. On the book jacket.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And one of my favorite lines from that episode is when I think it's George that says, AstroTurf. The Jews.
Okay, well, that's my favorite also. My number 9 is also sort of like one of these iconic episodes. Overall, the episode may not be as strong as some, and you may think it might not even be in your list, but the Soup Nazi, just for the name The Soup Nazi, and just for the interactions in the soup stand with George and Kramer and Jerry's girlfriend, when he says, I don't know you, like when he gets mad at them for kissing, and then George asks for bread and the guy says, don't push your luck, little man. And then of course at the end, I mean, the end is like when Elaine screams next, like that's like, you're out of, you know, like pack it up, Soup Nazi, next. So like, it's just, it's one of those episodes. Like, and another thing, like the term Soup Nazi, it's become almost like it's almost in the dictionary, you know?
Okay, so number 9 for me is actually from season 9, episode number 6, and it's called The Merv Griffin Show.
Oh my God, I don't like that episode at all.
So the only reason I like this episode is because when Kramer sets up the chairs in his apartment and they all come over, all the whole gang comes over and sits around on those chairs, and he makes it look like a talk show and they're actually just having a normal conversation. To me, that is hilarious. And at my office, we actually have some chairs that look like those chairs. And every time I see them, I'm like, what is this? The set of The Merv Griffin Show? I say this at work sometimes. And only one person knows what I'm talking about, because of course, you have to be quite old to know what The Merv Griffin Show is. So that's the only reason I like that episode and why I put it on my list.
It's good that Kramer's like, they're having a conversation about normal things, but Kramer has cue cards, you know, like he, and then he brings in Newman. He's like his, you know, Johnny Carson and
Ed McMahon.
Ed McMahon. That's a good
one. His sidekick.
All right. So my number eight, actually, when you look up lists of the most best Seinfeld episodes, this one is usually like in the tops. Some lists even had it at number one. And that is season 5, episode number 22, The Opposite. So this is where, you know, George is down on his luck. He's living with his parents, doesn't know what to do. He has no aim in life. And he decides that his life is meaningless. And from now on, he's going to do the opposite of every natural urge that comes to his mind. Because up till now in his life, everything he's done has turned out wrong. So now he's going to do the opposite. And he starts by ordering the opposite of his normal lunch. So instead of tuna salad, he has chicken salad. Instead of coleslaw, he has potato salad. Instead of coffee, he has tea. And then this really good-looking woman hears his order, and then he goes up to her, and she's like, you just ordered the same lunch as me. So then, basically, he starts having this, he calls it his new religion, which is doing the opposite of every urge that comes to him. And then meanwhile, Elaine's life is spiraling in the opposite direction. She's getting kicked out of her apartment for buzzing up a jewel thief. And by the end of the episode, George is on top and Elaine is basically wearing a sweatsuit and looks like a kind of female version of George. And of course, Jerry is just Even Steven. And also, the other little gem in this episode is that Kramer goes on Regis and Kathy Lee to promote his coffee table book, which is hysterical.
That's a coffee table book about coffee tables.
Yeah.
And it even has its own legs.
It has its own legs, exactly.
Okay, so number 8 from season 8, episode 13, The Comeback. And of course, I love this episode because George gets insulted in a meeting. And
oh, I don't like this one at all. This is the jerk store?
Yes. He gets insulted in a meeting. And the meeting isn't even in New York. Like, he had to fly to go to this meeting. He
went to Ohio. Right. I watched it last night.
He flies back to New York. The whole time he's trying to come up with an insult to come back at this guy. He finally thinks of one. This is after he's already back in New York, I think. He flies back to Ohio just so that he can, you know, somehow get this guy to say something. So that he can say, well, the jerk store called and they ran out of you.
You know, George, the ocean called. They're running out of shrimp.
Oh, yeah, Riley? Well, the jerk store called. They're running out of you. What's the difference? You're their all-time bestseller.
All right, number 7. Actually, I saw a list where I had this as number that had this as number one. I saw a list from a magazine that had this episode as number one, which is season 5, episode 2, The Puffy Shirt.
I can't stand this episode, actually.
Are you serious? First of all, like, George becomes a hand model. That's the side story. But the main thing is the pirate shirt. You know, Jerry's like, I don't want to be a pirate. And then Elaine comes to see him in the dressing room and she tells him, you're all puffed up. And like, again, one thing that I love is that this episode put a phrase into the English dictionary, which is the term low talker. Because up until this episode, you knew people who talk softly and you had to always like try to have struggle to hear what they were saying. You know people and you didn't know what to call them. But now Seinfeld told you that these people were called low talkers. I'm ready for your number 7.
Number 7 is from season 7, episode 6, and it's the Soup Nazi, which we already talked about. Uh-huh. It's on your list. I mean, I don't really need to say much about it because we already discussed it, but it's a very good episode. And I don't even think you mentioned No Soup for You, 1 year.
No Soup for You.
The Soup Nazi himself is a classic. You know, honestly, he's so good, right?
And by the way, there's a soup place in the food court near my office called the Soup Nazi, NUTSY.
Uh-huh. They're trying to capitalize.
Yes.
Right. All right. Number 6. Season 5, episode 14. Now, this might not be the strongest episode. It might not be the best episode. But the ending of this episode and the last minute or two is maybe the most famous of all the Seinfelds and maybe the funniest little bit of any episode. So the episode is the marine biologist. You knew where I was going with that. And George's whole thing with the sea was angry that day, my friends. Like an old man trying to send back soup at a deli. Like, that whole thing is honestly, if you don't laugh when you see that, you have a problem. Like, that is, it's like Kenny Banya would say, it's gold, Jerry. It's gold.
Number six is from season 6, episode 6, ironically, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. it's called The Gymnast.
Oh, I like this one. This is when he's dating the Romanian gymnast. They go to the circus.
He's dating a gymnast, but that's not even my favorite part of the episode.
No, Kramer's trying to pass a kidney stone.
That's not even my favorite part of the episode. My favorite part of the episode is when George is at a party and someone throws out an eclair and it's in the trash, God. And George takes it out and eats it. And then Jerry later says, adjacent to refuse is refuse. And that is my favorite line in the episode.
Yeah. How many times have we said that? Adjacent to refuse is refuse.
So yeah, that is why classic. This is on the list, because of that line.
That's a good one. All right, my number 5, you referenced it already. It's actually 2 episodes. It's a 1 hour. It's season 3, episodes 17 and 18, and that's The Boyfriend. That's the Keith Hernandez. Because it's actually a 1 hour episode. That's like, technically, they've called it 2 episodes. So, I mean, look, Keith Hernandez is in it. George is a chucker. This is the whole JFK thingy where Jerry's talking about the second spitter and Roger McDowell was in the gravelly road. And then, of course, you know, I know you like it because it's like the roles are reversed. And then, of course, like when George comes running out of the bathroom with his pants down and he's screaming, say Vandalay, say Vandalay, say Vandalay. And then, you know, and then Jerry's like, and you're my latex salesman, you know. So.
And earlier in that episode, or maybe later in that episode, where George says to Jerry that I'm your latex salesman. Jerry's like, I don't think so. But the way Jerry says it is hilarious. Yeah.
Just a little note that I found out when I was doing my research. This is the first episode where the audience applauds during Kramer's first appearance.
Oh, I had no idea.
And then, of course, later on, season 4 or 5 and on, it became a normal thing that when Kramer came into the apartment, everybody cheered, right? The studio audience. So this is the first time. All right, I'm ready for you with number 5.
Number five is from season 5, episode 14, and it's The Marine Biologist. And you already talked about it. And this is one of my favorite episodes. And that scene that you refer to where George is telling the story as if it's like a documentary. And then he says, you know, you already said the line, the sea was angry that day, my friends. And then at the end, he pulls out of his pocket a Titleist.
Right, and Kramer says, hole in one.
The sea was angry that day, my friends. Like an old man trying to send back soup in a deli.
So I subscribed to the Seinfeld Instagram account, and they had the 30th anniversary at one point. I think it was like last year. And there was a behind the scenes story about this episode and about that scene. So Larry David was not happy with the ending of the episode. So he went home that night and he completely rewrote the ending, including that whole "the sea was angry that day, my friends" bit. He rewrote the whole thing. He comes in the next day. They show it to Jason Alexander, and he's like, "This is how I want it to end." Like he shows it to them, all the actors. Like, "This is the end. Here's the script." And they asked Jason Alexander, "Are you okay with this? Because we don't have time for rehearsal. You're just gonna do it straight." And like me and you think actors can just do that, but there is such a thing as a rehearsal, right, where you run the lines. And Jason Alexander's like, "Yeah, I got this. I got this. I got this." They sit down at the table, and every time I've watched this, you have to pay attention to the facial expressions of Kramer, Jerry, and Elaine, because they're hearing George say this. They're hearing Jason Alexander say this for the first time ever, and they can't believe how funny it is. Jerry's dying not to laugh, right? So they do it, and they do it on the first try, and there was no second take, third take, whatever. There was one take, and that was it. The one we've seen is the only take of that scene, which is pretty amazing.
That is very impressive. I had no idea. Now, I will say that there are a few episodes where you can see that Jerry is trying not to laugh during the episode. Oh,
so many.
Because
so
he's
many.
Not an actor, actually.
No. Actually, he got better as it went on.
Yes.
But, you know, he's really not an actor. You know, and in the episodes where they're making their pilot, which I don't think is on any of our list, so I don't know about your top 4 yet, but the episodes where they're making the fake pilot of the show, like Jerry even says, I can't act. Like, so he's probably echoing his own personal experiences, you know. All right, so your number five. Oh, no, that was your number five,
The marine biologist was my number five.
All right, so my number four, I know it's not on your list. I don't think it's on anybody's list. When I looked up a list of Seinfeld episodes, this was like 100 in the hundreds on most people's list. And you know I love this episode, and that's The Heart Attack. It's season two, episode eight.
Is this Flaming this Globes is, of Sigmund?
Yes, Flaming Globes
of Sigmund. Yeah, I hate this episode.
You know, George thinks he has a heart attack. Jerry, like, comes in. He puts the pillow on his face. Elaine comes in. Elaine, what are you doing here? And then, of course, Kramer convinces him to go to this mystic, this healer instead of having the surgery. And then, you know, there's the classic line. He's out. He got out. And then Jerry asks Ekman, you know, can you read my note? I can't read it. And he's like, Cleveland 117, San Antonio 109. There's just so many great stuff. And then the chuckles, the two guys arguing over chuckles. Like, I never even knew what chuckles was. I still don't know. It's a kind of candy. Apparently, it's a candy. Comes in five flavors. They say it at the end. So I think this is one that's more personal towards me. And it's people are going to say, listeners are going to say, what? That's on the list. But yeah, that's my number four.
Okay, right, sorry. I'm on number four. So it comes from season four, episode 11, and it's called The Contest. And I'm sure you know what happens in The Contest, but my favorite line from this episode, and I can't even do it really well, it's when Jerry sort of loses it for a few seconds. He's like, I'm dating a virgin. Something's got to give.
Yeah. So The Contest didn't make my list. It actually wasn't even in my net, because I had narrowed it down to 19 episodes, I think 19 or 20, and it wasn't even in my top 20. I don't love the episode, but I mean, when you look online, you see most people list most publications list of greatest Seinfeld episodes. It's number one or two or three at the least. It's in everybody's, and it's, I don't think it's necessarily the funniest, but it's in people's list because of the topic, and at the time it was so like controversial and a bit groundbreaking, you know. So like, Seinfeld, the show, took a huge risk by having this episode, and, you know, it's famous for that, you know, so let's just leave it at that. All right, my number three was already on your list. That's season three, episode 19, The Limo. And I hadn't written down two lines, AstroTurf the Jews. Obviously, that's something that we say often between the two of us. But the other thing that we say all the time, and we've said it at least five times on this podcast, is what do you say when you see things?
Oh, that's from that episode.
I see things as they are, and I say no. You see things as they are not, and you... Do you see things as they are? What do you say when you see things?
That's a great episode. So am I on number three now?
Yeah.
Number three is from season three, episode three. And really, all I have to do is tell you the title and you're going to know exactly which one it is. It's called The Pen. Take the pen!
See, I didn't really include a lot of episodes or any with Jerry's parents because Jerry's parents are freaking annoying. Like, honestly, I can't handle them sometimes. But the whole thing with the pen and Jack Klompas, take the pen.
But this is also the episode where Elaine throws her back out because she's sleeping on that awful bed and she has to take these painkillers.
Stella!
Exactly. Yes, exactly.
It is very, very funny. And actually, we saw this episode recently. I watched it with my wife. And I said, you know, there's so many great secondary characters in Seinfeld. Sometimes it's the secondary characters that make the show. And the parents are obviously recurring. George's parents are completely bonkers. But Jerry's parents are more annoying than crazy. But like, think about like if the actress that plays Jerry's mom, it's like, oh my God. It's like they tell her, okay, we want you to be the ultimate Jewish mother times 1,000, you know, like amp it up times 1,000, you know, then that's what she is. It's pretty wild. All right. So I mentioned secondary characters, and my number two episode is there because of a secondary character, someone who only appeared on the show once. And that's season three, episode five, The Library. So Jerry finds out that he has an overdue library book from 1971, and there's a library cop whose name is Bookman, who's on the case. And there is the scene in Jerry's apartment with Bookman and Jerry where Bookman is like berating him about the library book. And all Jerry's trying to do is say like, I'll find the book, or if not, I'll pay you back. I'm really sorry. Like, I mean no harm, you know? But Bookman is just like, you put on shoes when you come into the Lunar Public Library, fella. And like, anyways, it's just, it's, you, another one, I said it already about the he was angry that day, my friends, but if you don't laugh at that Bookman scene, then you have no, like, you do not understand comedy.
I don't judge a man by the length of his hair or the kind of music he listens to. Rock was never my bag. But you put on a pair of shoes when you walk into the New York Public Library, fella.
Honestly.
It is excellent. And before I decided to only go with one episode per season, that was in the running to be on my list.
Uh-huh. So it's interesting because right now I only have one episode left and you only have two.
Yes.
So I don't know if my number one is even in your list.
I don't know. But we only have like two of the same so far, I think.
We have really not many the same. The only ones we have the same is the limo.
And the marine biologist. I think that's
and the soup Nazi.
Okay, so we only have three the same so far.
Yeah. Well, let's see what you have for number two.
Okay, so number two for me, and this might be your number one, I'm not sure. It's season 2, episode 11, The Chinese Restaurant. I mean, I don't need to tell you what happens in the restaurant in this episode. But the whole part where the maitre d' keeps calling out, Cartwright, Cartwright, you know, instead of Costanza.
Excuse me, I'm expecting a call. Costanza?
Yes, I just got a call. I yell, Cartwright, Cartwright, just like that. Nobody came up, I hang up.
She called. He yelled, Cartwright. I missed her.
Who's Cartwright?
I'm Cartwright.
You're not Cartwright.
Of course I'm not Cartwright!
And then a few years ago, you and I went to a Chinese restaurant and almost the exact same thing happened to us.
I completely forgot about that. We had an order for takeout and the guy called out a name and we just sat there. It was a very busy night. It might have been like Christmas or New Year's, whatever, right?
Yes.
So he called out a name and we just sort of didn't answer. And then 5 minutes later, we went and asked him. And he's like, oh yeah, I called you.
It was exactly that.
Oh my God.
So anyway,
I forgot about that, Josh.
So the Chinese restaurant is number two on my list. The other good thing about this episode is when, you know, they're so hungry because they've been waiting so long. I forget, one of them dares another person to just go to someone's table and take food off their table.
Yeah, Jerry says he'll pay Elaine $50 to go take food off of someone's table, but she can't even do it. She tries to talk them. She tries to tell them all. Anyways, it doesn't work. So the Chinese restaurant is number one on my list. It's a very interesting episode. First of all, there's no Kramer.
There isn't? Right?
Kramer's not in the episode.
Wow, because
the whole episode is them in the Chinese restaurant, right? And it's one of these episodes that they call like a bubble episode or there's a TV terminology for it, which is it happens like in real time. So the amount of time that you see them on your screen is the amount of time they're waiting.
Including the show 24.
Yeah, including the commercials, right? So it's like they're waiting for their food. And there's another episode, and I don't know if it's number one on your list. I doubt it is, where they try to replicate the same premise, which is the parking garage. It didn't make my list, where they're looking around the parking garage for their car and Kramer's carrying the air conditioner. So that was an attempt to recreate the same kind of premise of the Chinese restaurant where they're walking around in real time and looking for something. So the other part that you didn't mention, because you said Cartwright, but George is waiting to use the payphone, and the guy's like just waving him off, like, no, 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 wait your turn, buddy, you know? And then George is like, we're living in a society.
I love that line. I love it.
Yeah, yeah. So that's my number one. So I can't wait to hear what your number one is.
Okay, by the way, do you remember, because in the Chinese restaurant episode, they were going to go see a movie afterwards, but they end up being too late for the movie. Do you remember the name of the movie?
No, but you know what? I would love to have an IMDb, a fake IMDb of all the Seinfeld movies, like Prognosis Negative, I can't even remember all the others, but like there's so many movies that, and they hardly ever use real movie titles. The English Patient was a movie that was real that they talked about, but for the most part, well, I mean, Rochelle obviously was in a few times, but like they're all made up movies. So what was the movie they were going to see?
Plan 9 from Outer Space.
Oh, because that's a real movie, actually.
Oh, is it? I never would have even known that.
Because they were going to see, that's like one of these old, old movies from like the 60s or 70s, you know, like black and white monster space invasion movies, like a Godzilla type of movie, you know? So Jerry wanted to see it. Oh, Plan 9 from Outer Space. Yeah, okay. It's something like The Flaming Globes of Sigmund. It's like that kind of movie.
Okay, if you say so.
Okay, so what's your number one?
So number one, before I tell you which one it is, there's two reasons that it's on my list. And it's from season one, and it's episode number two, and it's called The Stakeout. And you know what happens on The Stakeout.
You know what? I should have included this at least in my honorable mentions. This is Simon Bennett Robbins, Oppenheim and Taft.
So you're a lawyer.
Simon Bennett Robbins, Oppenheim and Taft.
Simon Bennett Robbins, Oppenheim and Taft. Simon Bennett Robbins, Oppenheim and Taft.
Exactly. So that's one of the reasons why it's on my list, because of that. But the other reason it's on my list is because it's the only episode where Jerry's dad is a completely different actor. It's a guy named Phil Burns, and he was never on again, that guy.
No, they replaced him with the other Jerry's dad, who was better.
So how funny is that? That they actually had a different actor playing his dad. So this is why I had to put this on the list.
So wait a minute. The Keith Hernandez wasn't on your list.
No. I mean, again, because I had to narrow it down to 10 and I decided to only go with one episode per season.
But you know, no, I get it. The Stakeout is really good. And it's pretty amazing because season one is weird, right?
Well, it's weird for a few reasons. First of all, it was on during the summer.
Yeah, but also, like, they didn't know what they were doing. Like, they were trying to figure out what the show was going to be about. Like, in episode one, there's no Elaine. There's another girl. The apartment's different. You can tell in episode one or maybe even episode two, they were trying to work in the waitress at the coffee shop as, like, a main character, and then they just forgot about that because it wasn't going to work. Then and Elaine was in episode two, and then it's just weird, right? Like, the first episodes are just different. Like, they don't have the same feel, you know? And but that is a good episode, Josh, I have to admit.
Yeah, I mean, season one, I think, only has six episodes. You know, when you start a show, when before anyone knows about a show, usually a production company will order, you know, six episodes. And then if those six go okay, then they might ask you to do a full season.
Yeah.
So
I agree.
That was only six episodes. So there's my top 10.
I like your list. I just want to tell you some of my other honorable mentions. Can I rattle them off quickly and see
Please.
If you have some of them?
Absolutely.
Also? The Hamptons, which is about the shrinkage.
Mm-hmm.
The Subway, which I watched yesterday. You know, you got to like their chances when he's with the naked guy in the subway.
Yeah.
And that's also where Kramer puts money on a horse in the horse race. His mother was a mutter.
His father was a mutter.
Yeah. The Pez dispenser. I don't know.
What
to say
kind of
about
mental
that.
Defective would put a Pez dispenser on someone's lap?
Right. The hot tub. You know, this is the one where Elaine has to wake up the guy who's Jean-Paul.
Jean-Paul.
Yeah, who's running in the New York City Marathon and Kramer's hot tub is on the fritz. Bizarro Jerry, you know, this is the other versions of the characters that are similar to theirs. You know, Elaine has another group of friends. Kenny Rogers Chicken Roasters. You know this? The huge red light in the window. It's not really that funny, but when Jerry comes in and he's sleeping in Kramer's house with the red light. And then he comes in and the roles are reversed. All of a sudden, Jerry is acting like Kramer. It's quite funny. The alternate side, that's one of these episodes where you don't know what the episode's about until you read the description. This is, these pretzels are making me thirsty.
Yes, when
the Woody Allen movie.
Yes, exactly, yeah.
It's called The Alternate Side because George has to park the cars on the alternate side of the road, right? That he takes over that job for a week from the guy and he screws up the whole thing. The Stall, this is Can You Spare a Square? And then the other one, which is very, the title gives it away, is the yada yada. So, you know, another word that they've added into the English dictionary, the yada yada.
Into our lexicon.
Yeah. So I have a list of things that were added into the English dictionary in case you want to hear them, Josh. Close talker, low talker, high talker, sidler. Two-Face, Puffy Shirt, Bubble Boy, Spongeworthy, Regifter, Yada Yada, Serenity Now, Festivus, Man Hands, Mimbo, Anti-Dentite, The Bro or the Man's Ear, Shrinkage, and Double Dip.
That's quite the list.
There's more, but I mean, those are the ones I liked.
You certainly did a lot of research.
And then, of course, there's products in the show. You know, like sometimes they talked about products like Snapple. Or Drake's coffee cake.
Too fruity.
Or Pez. Or Junior Mints. Like, I always found it fascinating when they actually brought in real names of things, you know? Like,
that is the list.
You just made the list!
The Skip and Josh podcast is available wherever you listen to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, iHeartRadio, and Spotify. If you listen to the show through Apple Podcasts, please leave a review. To interact with the show, send an email to skipandjoshshow@gmail.com. Follow the show on Twitter @skipandjosh and go to facebook.com/skipandjosh to like the show page. To see links mentioned on today's episode, go to skipandjosh.com. And now for some final thoughts from the guys.
So, Josh, just getting back to sports, how about that Pat Mahomes contract?
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously insane, but the thing with football contracts, as you know, not all of it is guaranteed. So
no.
Even though he's supposed to get, what is it, the same as Mike Trout, roughly, yeah. he might not end up getting all that money.
It's 140, the contract's for $450 million, which is, and supposedly there's guarantees that can get it up to almost $500 million. And then it's, I think, $145 is guaranteed. But I mean, it's mind-boggling, the numbers, when you see these numbers.
I mean,
if any player deserves it, it's him. You know, if any player in the best player in the richest league, I mean, it's a no-brainer, right? So,
except that even guys like Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson, they've won Super Bowls.
Yeah.
But they haven't won more than one Super Bowl. No. I mean, there's not many guys that win more than one Super Bowl. And so Mahomes has already won a Super Bowl. How many do you think he's going to win the rest of his career? It's not like... It's not like there, you know, in some sports, there's dynasties, you know, like the Montreal Canadiens, the New York Islanders, the Edmonton Oilers that just win cup after cup after cup. It's not like that in football.
No. I was trying to tell this to Matthew this week because he was like, oh, they're going to win the Super Bowl again for sure. I'm like, tell that to Dan Marino. He got to the Super Bowl in his second year and never made it back again.
Right.
You know, and Aaron Rodgers never made it back again. And you know, like... It's easy to look at Tom Brady and say, oh my God, he goes to the Super Bowl every year, but that doesn't happen normally, you know?
So the weather has been ridiculously hot and humid for the last 10 days, 11 days, whatever.
It's pouring here today. It's crazy rain.
There was a tornado warning actually here in Toronto on Wednesday, I think it was. And then, Of course, I have the Weather Network app on my phone.
Yes.
Which to this day, I still believe that the person who updates that is your wife. But anyhow, so today I get two weather advisories today alone.
Yeah.
One of them is telling me that there could be funnel clouds. And I don't even know what a funnel cloud is.
No, a funnel cloud is like, isn't that like the start of like a tornado?
Well, it says here in the advisory, in rare cases, these may develop into a land spout tornado.
Yeah, well, it's funnel cloud is like you know, from Wizard of Oz, you know?
Well, I thought that was a fairy tale. I didn't realize that could actually
happen.
But no,
you know what I mean, though? It's like these big raging winds that roll around in a circle that lift up trailer parks and throw up campers in the air.
Well, I hope that doesn't happen, but there is a weather advisory here today, so it may actually happen. I'll let you know. If I survive to the next episode, you'll know I was okay.
I hope you're safe, Josh. All right, so next week, do we know the topic?
We don't know the topic. We don't even know. I may not even be able to record next week.
All right. Well, we'll figure it out.
Okay.
Good talking to you, and I'm glad we were able to do the Seinfeld episode.
Me too.
All right.
A lot of fun.